You're listening to Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Masech HaSeir, Daf, Pei, Omud Aleph. And Pei, the simon for Pei is payday, wads of cash. Wads of cash is payday. After the summon. All right. We are starting from four lines from the top. Meisve. So we have to return to the previous thing. So we just stated... some things that the Sabe de Pumbedisa, the elders of Pumbedisa, Rashi says includes Rav Yehuda, who was the Rosh Yeshiva and founder of Pumbedisa, as well as the rest of his yeshiva, things that they would say. So we had a list. One of them was relevant to what we were speaking about, our topic at hand, which was halachos of being mizake somebody for a shituf mavaos. And then we mentioned a couple of other things, someone who's a mekadesh, should drink a mali lugma, which is also a discussion, you know, relevant. People speak about the Pesach Seder and the standard. Is it mali lugma? Is it revius? Should you have the rov kos? Actually, all of the kos, ideally. So that's quite relevant. And then there was another teaching about lighting a fire, if necessary, for a woman who gave birth or who is a chola. And then we return to the first teaching, and that was Shituf Mavos, and in particular, the Shabbi said that you need to lift the Chavis, the barrel that you are using for the Shituf Mavos, the person that you give it to has to lift it off the ground, Minakarka, Tefach. And that's what we're about to challenge over here. So Meisve... Case that so we have a Mishnah Brayso over here. Case of Mishtatvin b'mavoy. How do you do a sheet of mavos? Mavim chavis shel yain v'shel shemen v'shel tamarim v'shel grogros v'shel shar minei peros. You bring a barrel of wine or of oil or of dates or of dried figs or of other types of fruits. Im mishalo. Sarek Lizakos. If they are his, the person who's doing the Shita Mavos on others' behalf, he has to be mezake it to somebody else, so he acquires it on their behalf. Ve'im mishalahen, but if he's using their stuff for it, so he's making a Shita Mavos from what they have, so Tsarek Lahodia. He needs to inform them and be... He's informed them. We'll speak about that in a moment. Umagbia minakarka mashahu, and he has to lift it up off the ground a mashahu. So that's obviously going to be the contradiction. Again, the Sabi de Pumbedisa said on Ayin Tes Amud Beis that you when you do the shutif mavos for somebody in Merzakit, so you have to lift it off the ground a tefach to show that they have acquired it on somebody else's behalf. And over here, it says mashahu, that you have to lift it up mashahu, which seems to be much less than a tefach, and that's the stira that we have to deal with. But just a moment, because this is going to be part of our discussion for the rest of the, or much of the rest of the Amud. So we said that the first case is that if it's mishalo, he's being mizake on their behalf, meaning he is giving over his... wine barrel. He's giving over part of it to other people in the mavoi, so he is being mezakeh to them. He's saying, "I'm giving it to them." You can generally hold. You can be mezakeh somebody a little bit of, not in front of them, because it's your mezakeh them. You're giving them something. You're first of all giving them a portion in your wine, and secondly, you're giving them reshus to be able to carry in the mavoi. So that's very helpful. But what if you're doing it from their property? So you're taking their property and making it into a shita mavos. So that is, the Gemara says, you have to be modia. Actually, not a Gemara. The Braisa quoted by the Gemara. You have to be modia. So Rashi says, sarach lodia im chafetzim bakach, if they want this, if they, right? You have to check with them. You can't just do it without permission. Shema makpidin be'irvin. Maybe they're going to be makpid on the irvin. V'yamar, and we said previously on Mem Tesamid Aleph, Hamakbid al Eruvo Eno Eruv, Sheino Tsaraba Osapas Litan Lech of Eruv, that we've said if somebody is Makbid on his Eruv, remember this, I quoted this at the CM Bashal Shodis, on Seder Mo, where we finished with Erevin, that if someone is Makbid about Eruv Chatzeros, and he says, I don't want anybody eating from my piece of bread that I contributed. So the whole Eruv is a bad Eruv, mm-hmm. right? The Gemara says, because Eruv Shemo, it's called Eruv. This is not Eruv. And Rashi, right, Rashi elaborates over there that it's not just like Arvus, like mixed together, but even like Areva, like pleasant. It's supposed to be pleasant, and it's lacking that quality. So over here, if he's tsara ba'osa, tsara, eno tsara ba'osa pas, litein l'chaver, if he's stingy, and he doesn't want to give it over, so it doesn't count as an Eruv, it doesn't count as Shita Mavos, that doesn't count. So you need to make sure, if you're using his property, right, if I'm using my wine and I'm giving it over to you, so I can give it over and give it over essentially on condition that you allow us to be part of the Shita Mavos, and that's considered as chus. But if I'm going to use your barrel of wine, your wine, and take and give out parts in it, even though I'm being mezaki with the permission to carry in the mavoi, you may not be okay with that. And if you are stingy, you're tsaras ayin, you're stingy about it, then the Eruv is not a good Eruv, and the sheet of mavos is not a good sheet of mavos. So that's an important clarification. So now back to the stira. The stira was, the Sabi de Pumbedisa said that when you lift, when you're being mazaka somebody else, they have to lift the barrel. How far do they have to lift it? What did Sabi de Pumbedisa say?
Tefach.
And over here in our Brisa it says mashu. So how do we do with that? So Gemara very simply, my mashu, nami de kamar tefach. So when it says mashu, it means a tefach. It means a little bit. Perhaps, I don't know. Perhaps you might say that. What would you expect? What would you expect it to say? If I was going to tell you it had to be lifted a certain amount off the ground to show that it's in your possession, what would you suggest? What measurement would you, if I would ask you?
Maybe probably at least an amma, if not maybe 30 tefach, like a 10 tefach off the ground, maybe.
Okay,
like a wall.
That's a measurement. What would you say?
Sorry.
If I would ask you, how much do you have to lift something off the ground to show that you have acquired it and it's you know, it's in your possession now?
Make it in your possession. So we're going within 3 tefach and we'll be considered still on the ground.
So that's the first above thing I would
three,
think.
Above
I three. Would think at least above 3, because if it's less than 3, then it's lovewood. Right, so I would think at least 3. Maybe you want to say 10? Okay, maybe. But definitely at least above 3. So it could be relative to that, a tefach looks like a mashahu. Maybe that's a way to explain why it says a mashahu. It doesn't mean a mashahu.
I'm not sure why. I'm not saying for sure the would apply, because like it's your goof is grounded on the ground. I'm saying it's a, like even a tefach. You're still it's you. You're holding it. So I would be we would ignore your hand.
Right. I mean, like, well, if I just touch it like this, is that anything?
I hear what you're saying.
Right, there's hagbah, so yeah. Hagbah might have to be hagbah is lifted off the ground. So, I mean, I would think if you would ask me, I would say 3 tefach. We know that, you know. Oh,
is hagbah the rice or the rabbanon? If it's the rabbanon, it'd be like based on rationale, what you know, appearance, what would appear to be something like taking something to your possession.
Okay,
but whereas if it's the rice, then not based on any specific rationale we can come up with necessarily.
Right, I mean, you know, definitely we apply love it to such cases. We apply love it throwing a basket upside down, and if it falls within 3 tefachim of the ground, look, we apply love it in such cases. So that's what I would have thought. Also, by the way, so over here we say, no, only a mashu. So not literally a mashu, it means a tefach, but not 3 tefachim. Just also relevant that, we know, what's another case where you have to lift something a tefach?
The matzah.
Is it tefach?
I have no idea.
Close. Right. Kosha bracha should be lifted tefach off the table. Right? So and it, just the reason it's particular.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, tefach, it's Gemara brachos. It's nun aleph in Gemara brachos. One of the 10 things of kosha bracha, and one of the few that we for sure hold by, you should hold it a tefach off the table, which is just particularly relevant now, because a lot of people who usually don't deal with kosha bracha are going to be dealing with kosha bracha. Like Ritlel Seder. Usually, there's one person in the house that does that deals with the kosher bracha, so he knows the halachos.
Oh, everyone! You're saying what? Everyone.
Everyone at the seder has their own kos, and you know, women who are typically not making kiddush and havdalah and leading benching and things like that. So, or other people at the table who just don't usually do that, so they don't necessarily know, like hold it up off the table or something like that. So it's just an important thing to remind people as we get close to that. This is real kosher bracha. Actually, some actually have the chumrah to even, I think Rav Kook mentions, to rinse out the cup before, in between the dalad kosos. So I guess you have to factor in how much you're closing in on Chatzos and whatever, that which is a priority. But some say that the hadach and the shtifa of the rinsing the cup inside and out might have to be done even in between kosos. Rav Kook did have that chumrah, so something to think about. But definitely to advise people that are not holding it at a tefach of the table that they should, and it should be a rov kosos, should be full, mostly full. Okay. So anyway, that's a little bit of Pesach for tonight. That's the way to resolve the steer. Okay, Itmar was stated shitufei maos mavaos. So regarding shit of mavaos, Rav Amar ein tzarech lezakos, Ushmuel Amar tzarech lezakos. So Rav says that you do not need to do to be mezakeh, meaning you can basically just do it on your own without. Doing this, right? The being mazak is having somebody else represent them, right? We mentioned in the Mishnah on the previous Amud that you can have a Jewish Eved or an adult child or even a wife. Who's considered a separate party from yourself. They're representing the B'nai Mavoi, and they're doing that. So Rav says you don't even actually have to do that over here for a sheet of Mavos. And Shmuel Amar Tzarech Lezakos. No, you need to. Okay. Now, Eruve Tchumen.
What does that mean?
That you can just do the Sheet of Mavos without having a representative be there to represent the B'nai Mavoi. Because what we mentioned in the previous Mishnah is that if I want to do a Sheet of Mavos without the other B'nai Mavoi there, I can't do it on my own, says the Mishnah. I need a party who is disconnected from me. From his hand is not my hand, so it cannot be my Eved Kanani, it cannot be my Shivcha Kananis, it cannot be my children who are supported by me, but it can be my wife, and it can be, that's which is a machlokas, I think, some Gemaras, but not in our Gemara. So it can be my wife, it can be an Eved Ivri, it can be my adult children. And they represent the B'nai Mavoi, so I give it over to them, and they lift it off Tefach up.
What you're saying is not all the shliach or all the proxy. That's there is a zach la'adam shul b'fanav, but it's not the conventional sense. In the conventional sense,
well, no,
yourself hold it. No, that would normally not work.
I think you could just declare that this is a sheet of mavos without giving it over to somebody else, having them represent it.
Right. Yeah. You don't need the formal process with the proxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so, and Shmuel says, no, actually, you do need it. And Eruv Etchumen, which we have not spoken about yet, I mean, look, we've spoken a lot in the Sechter, it's not in this discussion, Rav Amar Tzarech Lezakos, and Rav says, you do need to be Bezakeh, meaning if you want to extend the Tchum for somebody else, relocate the Tchum, you need to do it on their behalf. Ushmuel Amar Ein Tzarech Lezakos, and Shmuel says you do not need to be mezakeh, and we're going to see this discussion on a Pei Beis as a Mishnah. It's going to discuss. Let's say someone can actually make a tchum for his city, like extend a tchum for a city. What's about?
Okay, so this is just the context of what is it? What Rav is saying Ein Tzarech Lezakos.
Mm-hmm.
Rav maintains a system without a sheet of the owner will not be permitted to carry to the Mavoi. The owner definitely, without any question, resolves to make a unilateral transfer of ownership to other residents of the Mavoi, thereby obviating the need for a formal act of acquisition. And then, parenthetically, this is a very important part, a formal act of acquisition, meaning with a shliach, with a proxy, is necessary only where doubt exists as to the will of the owner. Where his will is known with certainty, no formal act is necessary. Really? I mean, I understand, I pick up something on behalf of Shimon, that, oh, hey, I found something in the street, I'm going to pick it up in Conan for Shimon. So that's not from the bottom. I don't know if for sure he wants it, but I suspect he would. So, I mean, I get that, but it's interesting that it requires the proxy only because of certain uncertainty. Like, why does that even make a difference? It's a stronger form of kin.
Yes, sir.
It's interesting.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Next, I hear that. Okay, so let's. So we have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Both by Shituf Mavos, which Rashi says is Erev Chatzeres, but it's really the same mechanism, and Erev Tchumen. Okay, so let's see. So now, one of them is much easier to deal with. Bishlama l'Shmuel, hachatnan v'hachalotnan. So it makes a lot of sense for Shmuel, because here it teaches in the Mishnah, here it does not teach in the Mishnah. Meaning, here, by Shituf Mavos, on the previous Amud, we have a case where somebody is doing shitufei mavos for somebody else, for others, and he has to be mezaket. So it looks like you do need to be mezaket for shitufei mavos. And also on pei beis, when we have the Mishnah that talks about performing Erev Tchumen for somebody else, hey, there's a Mishnah there. Yeah, it's a new parak. So there's no mention over there about being mezakeh. So these two Mishnayos seem to line up with Shmuel, and both of them are problematic to Rav. So Bishlama the Shmuel hakatanan v'hakalotanan. Here on the previous Mishnah we learned you should be mezakeh, and on the next Mishnah we learn that there's no mentioning of being mezakeh. So his shita makes sense through and through. El Rav, my time, but what's the reason? So tanoihi, it's a machlokes tanoim. So meaning like, yes, we see one mission, well, a pair of mishnayos that seem to accord to the two opinions of Shmuel, but really at least one of them is a machlokes tanoim. De Amar, Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, because Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Maisa bekalasa shel Rabbi Yoshaya. There was a story about the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Yoshaya, Shaholcha, she went to the bathhouse, Erev Shabbos, and it got dark for her. And this would have been outside the Tchum, as Rashi elaborates. And her mother-in-law, Rebbetzin Oshaya, made an Erev Tchum for her before Shabbos, and allowed her to get back in. She was really like, wow, it's getting very late right now. And you know, from where she is, she's more than 2,000 amos away. But I'm going to make an Erev Tchumen somewhere close so that she'll be at the back end, and she has really 4,000 amos to travel. Right, you know, as we learned about Erev Tchumen. Ubo Maisel of Rabbi Chiya. They brought the Maisel before Rabbi Chiya, the Osir, and he said, no, it doesn't work. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yosi. Right, so these are tonight. Rabbi Yoshai, this is Rabbi Yossi the Tana, the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, so we see throughout the Mishnayos. So his son Rabbi Yishmael said, Bavloi, he said to Rabbi Chia, Babylonian. Rashi says over here, Rabbi Chia, Bavloi, Hayakid Amrina, Mesach Sukkah, Alu Rabbi Chia, Banav Yisidua, that they made Aliyah. So presumably, Rashi feels the need to tell us that because Rabbi Chia, we typically know Rabbi Chia is a Talmud of Rabbi Ranasi, and so. You know, we know him as living in Eretz Yisrael, so it could be he's like not he was called Bavloi though because he made Aliyah. He was actually originally living in Bavel and he came there.
It's derogatory term. It's most certainly a derogatory term.
It seems to
be Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, it seems to be. Kol kachata machmir be'ervin. You're so machmir and ervin. Kachamar Abba. This is what my father said. And remember, we said about Rabbi Yossi. Numuka vimo. Right, we said back on Memvav that Rabbi Yossi beats like everybody, right? It's Rabbi Yossi beats Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir for sure, and not only that, but even Rabbi Yossi and a Rabbin, right? Rabbi Kiva beats a Yachid, and Rabbi Huda and Nasi beats a Yachid. Rabbi Yossi even beats a Rabbin that are against him because Nemuka Mimo, his proofs or his reasonings with him. So and he's my father, Rabbi Yossi. Says Kol Shiesh Lach LaHakel BeErevin Hakel. Anything you can be makel about an Erevin, we should be makel about. Okay, so we see there's a machlokas Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi to Tanayim. Rabbi Chia is somewhere. I guess we can call him a Tana. He's in between. V'boyelahu, and they asked regarding this Misha Chamosa Irvala Umishum Delo Zichsala. So when the mother-in-law when Rebbetzin Oshaya made the Erev for her, did she do it from her own food, and then she just didn't do she wasn't mezaket or mezaka I guess to her. Odilma mishala irvala mishum deshala midata, or maybe because she used like the her kala brought some kugel over for Shabbos or gefilte fish, and she made a dish. She's like, oh perfect, I'm going to use this. Well, I mean, I guess if she already gave it to her. She went into her backpack and found her granola bars, right? And she said, I'm using this for her Erev Tchumen. And because she did that without asking, it was not midas. So that's the problem, because we learned earlier that Tzarek Leodia. And obviously, the answer to this question is going to be significant, because that's going to teach us Well, then, if it's that you were taking her granola bars, then of course, no one had a problem with the fact that you're being, there was a requirement to be mizaka her. So, mizaka for her, so we have to figure that out. So, Omar Lahen, Ahumi Rabbanon, so he said to them, so one of the Rabbanon said to them, when they asked this, he said to them, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, and his name was Rabbi Yaakov, L'didim, afar shalimi neid Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explained this case to me, and he said, Mishal Chamosa Irva, it was the mother-in-law's food, Umishundalo Zichzala, and because she didn't do, she wasn't mizaka her, and so we see from here, that by Eir Tumen, you need to be, Rabbi Chia held that you need to be mizaka, and Rabbi Yossi held that you don't have to be, you can be makeover. Omar Le Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Yaakov, Berei, Rabbi Debas Yaakov, or just Debas Yaakov. So Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Yaakov, Debas Yaakov, we've met this this Amora before. Rashi mentions over here the reason we call him by his mother's name, because his father wasn't we don't like mentioning his father's name. So he wasn't such a great guy. So we mentioned his mother's name. So Rabbi Zera said to this Rabbi Yaakov, Kimatis Hasam, when you reach there, Akif, go around Vizil Sulama Datsur, go to this ladder or passageway or stairway or somewhere in Sur. We mentioned this back in Samach Hey. This is a location, a particular location. Ubay me name Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. When you're there, ask Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, for a clarification in this story. Ba'aminei, he asked him. So what was the detail? What were the details of this case? Mishal chamosa irva, misham delo zichsala. Oh, dilma mishala. Sorry, we didn't get the answer yet. Mishal chamosa irva, misham delo zichsa. Oh, dilma mishala irva, misham delo deshalo midata. Amar leh, he says mishal chamosa irva la, misham delo zichsala. So basically, that was just another story supporting the same teaching, right? So we have it from Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, and we have from Rav Yochanan. Both of them elaborated in this story that the question was. The mother-in-law made it from her own, and the question was she mizaka or not? She was not mizaka, and because she was not mizaka, there's a machlokas tanayim in how to treat it. And that's where Rav comes in, holding that opinion of this, which is against the Mishnah, but it's okay to be against the Mishnah because you have another opinion. Now, we should just note that we didn't really deal with the Erev Chatzeros. Right, there were two machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. One is during is Erev Chatzeros, and one is Erev Tchumen. And both of them, Rav seems to be against Mishnayah. So now we found another Tanayic opinion that Rav could rely on for the Erev Tchumen question. But what do we do about Erev Chatzeros? So I don't think the Gemara mentions it. Rashi mentions it. And as what would you say? What happens if you have Rav that seems to go against the Mishnah? There's no way to resolve it. Rav Tanu Opalig. Rav is at the level of a Tana. He's allowed to argue with Mishnayos and Brisos. We say that frequently. We don't like to be so quick to say it. So if we could find at least a Tanaic support for one of his shitos, that's great. But the other one, we'll just say Rav Tana Pelig. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan Echad Eruve Tchumen, the Echad Eruve Chatzeros, Echad Shitufe Mavoos, Tzarech Lizakos. Rav Nachman says the tradition that we have accepted is that whether it's Erev Tchumen or Erev Chatzeros or Shitufei Mavos, you need to be Mezakeh. Boy, Rav Nachman said, Eruvei Tavshilin. I believe this is the first shout out of Erev Tavshilin in our Mezakeh. That's primary location is Beitza, but we have it over here. Eruvei Tavshilin. Sarek Lizakos. Oh, ain't Sarek Lizakos. If you want to make an Erev Tavshilin on somebody else's behalf, you have to be mezakeh for them. Right? Usually the Rav of the community, or many Rabbanim of the communities, do it on people's behalf just in case somebody forgets. So, what's the halacha? I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Umay Tibayile. What are you asking? Lo Shemile, Hod, Amar Rav Nachman, Baravada. Omar Shmuel, didn't you hear the teaching of Rav Nachman Barada in the name of Baravada in the name of Shmuel? Eruve Tavshilin Sarech Lizakos. Didn't you hear that? What's your question?
I didn't hear that.
Omar Leabai Pshita Delo Shmuele.
Yeah.
So Abai says like Avi, but Pshita Pasha that they didn't hear it. De Shmuele Mighty Baile, because it is a good question. If he heard it before, Then what was he asking? Amar lei, so Rav says, no. My question was a fair question. Atu eruv etchumen mi lo amar Shmuel ein sarach lezakos. Is it true that erev tchumen Shmuel says you don't need to be mezakeh? Right, that's what we had earlier. Erev tchumen. So vamar ihut sarach lezakos, and he says you need to be mezakeh. Right, Rav Nachman said you need to be mezakeh. So we have over here. He holds by erev tchumen. Shmuel says you don't need to be mezakeh, and Rav Nachman, who's asking this question, right? He says you have to be mezakeh. So you clearly don't hold like Shmuel all the time. So when meaning like maybe he heard the teaching of Shmuel, but he's asking. I heard the teaching of Shmuel, but we don't always hold like Shmuel in this regard. So hachi hashta, this is what you're asking now. Bishlam hasam over there makes sense. Pligi Ravu Shmuel. There's a machlok is Ravu Shmuel. V'kamash balan ki chumrin demar v'chi chumrin demar. There's a machlok is Rav and Shmuel, and right. There's a machlok is Rav and Shmuel. So you know, so it makes sense. Fine. You know, there's a machlokas, and we hold like the chumras of both. So that's why we hold against Shmuel, because Shmuel is the lenient sheet over there, and we want to be machmer like Rav. So that's why we held against Shmuel. Aval hacha iisa de shemia le, right over here. We're going to listen to mi ika demand de palig. Is there anybody who argues over here? This is what Shmuel said regarding erev tavshilin. We didn't see any opinion that argues with him. So of course, if you would have heard this teaching, he would have accepted it. So it's hard to understand. Something just that my center pointed out, it's just interesting that over here we want to hold like the chumras of Rav and Shmuel when it comes to Erevin. Usually we're mekel by Erevin, but we choose to be machmir over here, which is just interesting. Okay, something to think about. Hahu Torzina. There was a Torzina. Everyone neighborhood's got one. This is right. So what? Dahava b'shivuse to Rav Zera, who lived in the neighborhood of Rav Zera. So a Torzina, Rashi says, it's Nachri Hayamamuna al Klei Zayin. It was a guy who was appointed over the weapons, right? So it's, I guess, the security guard at the shul. Hasuyin l'shmira sa'ir l'hilachem al hatsarim v'dar ba'ir. So he lived in the city, and he was a non-Jewish security guard, right? So he lived in the neighborhood of Zera. Amar Lei, so they said to him, Ogir Lon Rishuscha. They say, okay, well, you know, we're the lucky ones that you live in our Mavoi. So please, rent out your space to us so we can make a Mavoi. Lo Ogir Luhu. He didn't want to. Asulika made Reb Zera. They came before Reb Zera. Amar Lei. They said to him, Mahu Lamegar Lamidabesahu. His wife is a much nicer person. Maybe we can ask Mrs. Security Guard, right? Mrs. Velasquez or whatever it is, right? It was Velasquez?
He's gone.
Yeah.
This house is Pete.
Mrs. Pete. So Mrs. Pete. Right? Yeah. So we asked Mrs. Pete, that's the social security guard.
Oh, okay.
Was, Mrs. Velasquez was the previous...
very specific name.
Previous
Velasquez. Not what I would expect.
The previous first lady. But so Mrs. Pete. So we say, maybe we can ask Mrs. Pete if she'll rent it out to us. Amar Lahu, he said to them, this is what Rish Lakish said in the name of Gavar Rabba, a great man. Umanu, and who was he? Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina. By the way, whenever the Gemara does this, I assume that it's a different. It was originally not written like this. Because the Gemara. I mean, we know the Gemara was written like that. It was written over a 300-year period of people adding upon notes upon notes, and like a Google Doc that people keep adding onto, and you don't always see the new person talking, you know, just people continuing and putting it there. So, you know, it's not like a texting group or a WhatsApp group where you see whose name it was. It's just people kept adding to the notes. So presumably, that's how I assume this is. So anyway, so who was it? Rabbi Chanina. Ishto shel Adam me'areve shlomi dato. The wife of a man is allowed to be ma'arev, to join an erev without the das of the husband, without the husband agreeing. Hahu Torzina. Similarly, there was a Torzina. Dahava b'shivuse de Rav Yehuda bar Oshaya. Amri le ogar lon reshusha lo ogar lehu. Where are they getting these guys? Someone has to speak to the company. Also, the kamei de Rav Yehuda bar Oshaya. So they came before Rav Yehuda bar Oshaya. Amri le mahu lemegar lebid de midvesehu. They said, "Are we allowed to ask his wife? She's a lot nicer. Lo hava be a day." He didn't have the answer. Also, the kamei de Rav Masna lo hava be a day. Okay. If you also have the answer, also come to Rav Yehuda. They came before Rav Yehuda. Amar lehu, hachi amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. Ishta shal adam areves shalom midato. Okay. So we see that this is the case that the man is allowed to be woman is allowed to be ma'arev without the husband's agreeing, even against his will. Meisvei, but we're going to challenge that. Really, nashim she'irvu v'nishtatvu shalom midas ba'alehen ein eruvan eruv ve'ein shitufan shituf. We have over here an explicit brisa that says women cannot make an eruv or a shituf mavos without against the will of their husbands. Lo kasha. It's not a question. Ha de asar, ha de lo asar. This brisa is referring to a case where it's not going to be asar, and when it's not going to asar anybody. Meaning that when there's a lot on the line, for example, right, when it's going to asar everybody from using the mavoi, if not, so again, what is that gray area case? The gray area is typically if somebody is his chatzer is open to two mavoos. That's the gray area where he won't necessarily answer them if he's right. We learned this like much earlier in the Masechta. If he has access to this side and this side, then he's a more regular customer through this exit, and he closes off from this one. So he has options. So he will not necessarily answer the bnei mavoi by not joining in. But he could join in. So if he could, but again, if he doesn't join in, then he's not able to use their mavoi. Mm-hmm. Doesn't join in. So let's say. So now, can the wife of this middle chutzner guy, can she against her husband's will do it? No, because it was only like an allowance made if it's going to answer everybody else. But if it's not going to answer them, the bnei mavoi, so then we don't allow this leniency. That's basically how we resolve the contradiction. So in those two cases, in the case of Rabbi Zeira, and I think it was Rabbi Yehuda's neighborhood, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Hoshaya, right? So in their neighborhoods, that was a major inconvenience. The bnei mavoi can't do what they need to do and carry the mavoi in Shabbos. So there we allowed it, but this case in the Brisa, that's just a stam where it's not going to answer anybody. Hachinami Misavra, and this interpretation is indeed logical. De'im Kain, Kasha Deshmuel Deshmuel. Because if you would not say this, if you would not qualify this principle of the Brisa, then we'd have a stira within Shmuel. Domer Shmuel, because Shmuel said, right? Because they were quoting Shmuel. They were quoting Shmuel that an ishto could be merevus lo midas bala. Bala. So now, Damar Shmuel says over here, Echad b'bnei mavoi sheragil ishtatev in b'nei mavoi ve'lo nishtatev. So if you have somebody of the b'nei mavoi who is accustomed to making a shituf, normally on a weekly basis he makes a shituf mavos with the other b'nei mavoi, ve'lo nishtatev, and he doesn't do it this week, and Rashi says he wants to ask, he's upset with them, it is something to bother him, eno rotzim iskavin la'asar alehen, says Rashi. He wants to ask things for them, make trouble. So over here, what can they do? B'nei Amavoi nichnasin l'soch beisav anotlin shituf animenu. Baal gargo. The B'nei Amavoi can go into his house and take something for the shituf mavos from him against his will. And Tosas elaborates over here that it means that against his will, but with the will of his wife. Like, his wife is okay with it. His wife is helping the man. He can't just go in without any consent from the family unit, but they can ask the wife. And then that lines it up more equally, like more properly with what we were discussing. So now the Gemara darshens that. Rugil in she'ain rugil lo. So this is only if he's rugil, he usually does the shittim vos, seemingly connect, meaning that he would ask them. But if he does, if not, then not. Then, meaning, if he's not used to joining in the mavoi, meaning he will not asr it for them, then we don't allow this to go in. So now you would look like it's a stira and Shmuel, because over here, in this way, Shmuel, there's a limitation. There's a limitation, because Shmuel qualifies in this teaching over here, there's a limitation that only if it's ragil is she allowed to be ma'arev against her husband's das. But earlier we said, we quoted Shmuel, said that a woman can. So now that we qualified things, oh, it makes sense. So it's not a steer in Shmuel. Shmuel meant over here, and the first time he said it, he meant where it's not going to answer. And over here, he says that in different terms, he uses the term rugil instead of answer, but it means the same thing. Okay, let's just finish up until the next Mishnah. Lame Messiah lay. So let's say this is a. Let's say that the following is a proof to this concept. Kofinoso lasos lechi v'kor lamavoy. We force somebody to make a lechi or a korah for a mavoy, right? Meaning we can force the b'nei mavoy to contribute. So it sounds like look, we allowed the guy to go into the house and take something for the shita mavos. So it's the same idea, right? Over we can support that from a price. So that I mean, that was an interpretation in the opinion of Shmuel, but we can support that from a price, which says that you can force someone to contribute to a shita mavos. No, that price that we just quoted, that's where there's no mechitzas. Rashi says umavei magula hu. It's a mavoi that's revealed. Ve'eno noach l'shomro. It's not easy to watch. Hilkach kofinoso. Therefore, you're allowed to force him. It's a particularly unique case where it's more susceptible, I guess, to attack or something like that because it's a little bit more open. And therefore, we like it's I guess for security purposes we need I guess to be able to carry there so that we can impose the on all the b'nei mavoi to contribute to having a lechi and korah, which I guess would allow them to carry kofinos. So avalahatir betiltul the olam emalok to be'inan das. But that's you can't apply that to other cases. So don't try to support your thing with this. Lishnachrina mitzad shani, and there's another shot that from the side is different. And this is very hard. Right? So like several different gemaras that change the girsa. It's hard to understand what this means. And Rashi doesn't even say anything on it, which makes it, you know, very very hard, strange. The other girsa I saw it like that puts this in parentheses and puts brackets is mi beis din shani. That beis din can impose something on them, but not from the side. So it's just a different way to understand that. That Bryce is talking about beis din coming in and you know decreeing that. That's something else. But in general. We can't necessarily prove Shmuel from the Braisa, but it's not rejecting Shmuel. Itmar Rav Chiya, it was stated, Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Osin Lechi Asherah, Rav Shimon Ben Lakish Omar Osin Korah Asherah. So Rav Chiya Barashi says that you can make a Lechi out of an Asherah, right? The Shana Asherah is, as we mentioned, an idolatry, right? An idolatry that was used for Avodah Zarah. And Rav Shimon Ben Lakish said, Rav Shalkish says you can make a Korah out of an Asherah. Mm-hmm. Saman damar Korah, the one who says Korah, kol shekein lechi, then for sure a lechi. Right? Because he says, so I guess, like, why would you be allowed to do that? So I guess, because it's, because, you know, it is there. You know, it's a piece of wood, it's physically there, it can serve as the reminder that we need it to be. Even though maybe, you know, you shouldn't do it. Uman damar lechi, but the one who says only lechi, it means lechi dafka. Avokora lo. Why not? Kesuse mechtes shereha. Because the shear, its shear is completely crushed. What that means is we have this by lula, we have this by shofar, we have this in different, like the shofar of an ir nidachas. When sometimes we have items that need a particular shear, and if this item is something that needs to be destroyed, like something from an ir nidachas, right? One of these, like the wayward city that needs to, everything that needs to be destroyed. So the shofar, even though physically I see a shofar and it looks like it fits the shear requirements, but it's actually halachically as if it's completely like crushed, disintegrated into ashes, and because of that, that's not a kosher shofar. It doesn't have the proper shear, which is a fascinating concept. So, hero as well, when it comes to a korah, so there's this particular size you need for a korah. We learned this back on Yud Dalet, right? That has to be able to hold, like, you know, hold a levain, right? It's a certain type, or a reach, right? It's a certain type of brick. And we said, remember, that's where we spoke about, well, what if there are two koros that are split, but they can carry the weight, and then there's what, the different sizes. We had the whole discussion. But a lechi could just be a mashahu. So lechi could be very small. So the lechi could be just a mashahu, so then you might have a shita that says, listen, maybe we don't view the branch of the Asherah, we don't view it as destroyed, as pulverized into ashes. We don't view it like that. So he says, so a lechi, and it could be a lechi, and it could be a korah. But according to the other opinion, no, it can only be a lechi, not a korah, because it's considered pulverized. And if it's pulverized, so maybe it could still be considered a mashu. Tosfos over here deals with, I'm not sure if it's one or two pshatim, but how we can view it, that meaning if it's crushed into ashes, it could still be a masha. Could be still be enough as long. I mean, yeah. If like, let's say you picked it up and you taped up all the ashes, so that would still serve as a proper lechi. So it'd be fine. So it losing its shear doesn't make it not there anymore to not be lechi. But you could say it's not a korah. The other opinion will say no. It's still there. I'm still using it. It still serves as a reminder. So it could be not just a lechi, but even a korah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.